1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Monday edition of the program, the Bears at another press conference. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Mark Schanowski. He covers the Bulls for Stadium, and he's the host of the Sharpshooters podcast. Talk with him about the Bulls' NBA trade deadline acquisitions, how they look with those new acquisitions, and what to expect for their future. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt is ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Brian today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. When you screw up as a kid, what's the initial response from your parents? Anger, right? Why'd you do this? What's wrong with you? Clean up your act. We hear that all the time. You're supposed to learn from your mistake. Don't repeat it. Take the lesson to heart. But if you're a kid and you keep doing the same thing, you don't learn. It just keeps happening and happening and happening and over again. Your parents show anger and frustration and ask you to stop. Those feelings will melt away. Many of you listening or watching our parents, you know what it's like. Those feelings will melt. And it won't be anger or derision or being infuriated. All of that will turn into disappointment. How many times have you heard your mom tell you, "I'm very disappointed in you"? The first time, it's just anger. You get over it. You forgive and forget. But if it keeps happening, it becomes disappointment. Hopelessness. You feel like you've done your best, and the kid still won't listen. That's the Bears. I'm not angry anymore. I'm not. There's been so many things that have happened, and they've just piled up and gotten worse. I mean, it comes to a point where there is no anger. There's no infuriation. We're done with that. It's over. The infuriation came after the season when they signed Andy Dalton. Yes, infuriation, implosion, anger, all of that stuff. And you saw it. If you watch me, if you listen to me, you heard it, you saw it. I'm not even angry anymore. I'm disappointed. I was angry. I was hoping that they'd learn from their mistakes and grow, but they didn't. And at this point, I'm just disappointed, and I'm feeling lost and hopeless. The Bears had another press conference last week. They said a lot of things that we need to break down. A lot of things. First and foremost, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, the Chicago Bears coaches are thrilled with the signing of Andy Dalton. And quote, they think that just capable play with Andy Dalton can really elevate them to a new level. Hold on a second. So as long as Andy Dalton plays capably, they'll be elevated. Wait a minute. So Mitch Trubisky wasn't capable. I didn't say superstar, I said capable. Their numbers are exactly the same. Andy Dalton had more weapons in Dallas, and he put up the same numbers. So what are we doing here? It just becomes more and more apparent to me that this had nothing to do with Andy Dalton or any quarterback. The whole goal of this offseason was to drive Mitch out. Because if you're telling me honestly that Mitch Trubisky couldn't be a capable quarterback, you're crazy. You may not like him. You may say he's made bad decisions. But numerically, he's done fine. The same as Dalton. Oh, and by the way, he's made two playoff appearances. Pro Bowl, too. Last time I checked, that's pretty capable. No, it's not superstar worthy. No, he's not better than Watson or Mahomes. But yeah, that's capable. Mitch could have been a starter come next season for other teams. He took the backup role, I think, to learn more and to improve his value. That's a fact. And if you don't believe that or if you don't see it by now, all I have to say is go look at his numbers. Do a deep dive. Don't just listen to the media narrative. Look at his numbers. Look at his results. He's done a lot for the Bears, believe it or not. I had Mike North on a couple of weeks ago. He made a good point. Mitch Trubisky is the best backup in football right now. Most accomplished backup in football right now. One Pro Bowl, two playoff appearances, winning record. Name me another backup who could match that. You can't. That is just a slap in the face by Nagy and Pace. They think that just capable play with Andy Dalton can really elevate them to a new level. So you're saying that Mitch didn't play capably with the winning record, with the Pro Bowl, with two playoff appearances. So he was incapable, right? Incapable. I know Mitch isn't a superstar. But you're crazy to say that he's not a capable quarterback. If Andy Dalton, by definition, is a capable quarterback, how in the hell is Mitch not? I don't get it. Oh, let me revise that. I do get it. I do get it. The whole goal was to drive him out of town. And they did it, so congratulations. Matt Nagy said that he'll take over play calling duties from Bill Lazor for next year. How nice. How gracious and selfless, right? Last year, the Bears were down and out. Everybody said blow it up. They make the playoffs because of Bill Lazor. But now we're going to go back to the same old Nagy's calling plays, and we'll see how it goes. Not to mention the fact that Andy Dalton and Bill Lazor worked together in Cincinnati. But that doesn't matter. No, no, no. We are not about making the quarterback comfortable. We're about, quote-unquote, winning. Little does anybody know, apparently, that, you know, if you have a comfortable quarterback, you'll win football games. This isn't 1970 anymore. You have to conform to your quarterback to win. And we know that. We've seen it all over the NFL. I have no issue with an old-school coaching mentality. I do have an issue, though, with the coach going out of his way to hurt his players. Because a true coach wouldn't do that. The whole nature of the coach is to make you better and improve your performance, not hinder it, not get in the way. Good coaches adjust to their players. And we all know that. John Harbaugh, great coach, adjusted to Lamar Jackson. Cliff Kingsbury, good coach, adjusted to Kyler Murray. Good coaches do whatever they can possible to let their players thrive. Matt Nagy hasn't done that. In fact, he's refused to do it. You conform to me or you're done, Mitch. Right? That's what happened to Mitch. You didn't conform to me, so you're done. And now we're asking for capable quarterback play. That is just such a joke. If we just had capable quarterback play, we'd be fine. Hey, newsflash, you made the playoffs last year with capable quarterback play. And Ryan Pace said, quote, about Mitch, he sacrificed and battled for this team. When asked why things didn't work out with Mitch, Pace said he wanted to upgrade. Oh, of course. So hold on. We need a breather here. Let's make sure I get this straight. The Bears said they need capable quarterback play from Andy Dalton. If they get capable quarterback play, they'll be fine. They'll thrive. They'll be on a new level. At the same time, though, they say Mitch Trubisky, who by definition is a capable quarterback, he sacrificed and battled for this team, but they wanted an upgrade. So which is it? Are you looking for capable quarterback play? Are you in the business of winning? Or are you concerned about driving out Mitch Trubisky and claiming that Andy Dalton is an upgrade? You tell me. You can't be saying capable quarterback play makes us better than throw out a capable quarterback. Say what you want. You know Mitch is a capable quarterback. Not every quarterback has a winning record, makes a Pro Bowl, and makes two playoff appearances. That's capable. Not superstar worthy, capable. The Bears had capable quarterback play. And guess what? They made the playoffs. But now the argument is, oh, if we have capable quarterback play, we'll get to a new level. What's the new level? 9-7? What's the new level? What more could you ask for? You're not going to win a Super Bowl. You need a superstar quarterback to win a Super Bowl, not capable quarterback play. So what are we talking about here? You drive out a grinder. Someone who played, I would say, even a bit more than capably. And you bring in, quote-unquote, a capable quarterback and say he'll be leaps and bounds better. Something doesn't add up here. We drove out Mitch because we wanted an upgrade. And he'll be a capable quarterback. But Mitch is a capable quarterback. How much of an upgrade is Andy Dalton over Mitch Trubisky? Look, I know many of you don't like Mitch, but you have to admit this. They're about the same. If anything, Mitch is better only because he's younger. That's objective analysis. I don't get it. The Bears are speaking in circles. That's what they're doing. They're speaking in circles. They're saying they need capable quarterback play, but they kick to the curb a capable quarterback. They bring in a new quarterback who they claim and pass off is capable. And they also call him an upgrade. What are we doing here? See, this is why I said at the very beginning, I'm not even angry. All that anger is just gone. I can't feel it anymore. But I do feel disappointment. A lot of it. We've told the Bears many a time, stop doing this, cut it out, in the hopes that they would, but they didn't. And now I'm just left saying, I'm very disappointed in you. I'm upset. I don't know what kind of PR stunt this is or what kind of talk this is. You're literally speaking in circles. There is no basis to this argument whatsoever. I don't get it. How can you say capable play with Andy Dalton puts you at a new level, but then turn around and kick out a capable quarterback already who led you to 2 playoff appearances? And then claim Andy Dalton is an upgrade. Am I missing something? Mitch Trubisky is a capable quarterback, sorry. May not be a superstar. Might be a bust when you talk about who went after him. But he is a capable quarterback. And you all know it too. And to your credit, a lot of people I've seen have shifted their opinion on Mitch after Dalton. I mean, it's too late, but we appreciate the sentiment. But still, you have to admit here, something fishy is going on. And we're not stupid. None of us are. When you're telling us Andy Dalton, who was a backup last year, is better than Mitch, when you say he's an upgrade, when you say all we need is capable play, newsflash, Andy Dalton was capable last year. Mitch was too. But the Bears made the playoffs and Dallas tanked. And Dallas has a top 5 running back and a top 10 wide receiver. And a great O-line. So you tell me who's capable, who's an upgrade. Andy Dalton is it. I don't know what he is. I wish the guy the best. I'm just disappointed in the way this went down. The Bears will never come out and admit it, but we all know at this point, they kicked out Mitch. They didn't want him. He wasn't their guy. But I don't like the slandering. I don't appreciate that. And you shouldn't either, because it's untrue. They've indirectly said Mitch was not a capable quarterback, and Andy Dalton's an upgrade. They didn't come out and say it, but they indirectly said it. By claiming that if Andy Dalton plays capably, they'll be at a new level, by claiming that Mitch fought hard, but Andy's an upgrade, you're saying that Mitch isn't capable, and that he's worse than Dalton. Does that sound true to you? I'm not even talking from a fan perspective objectively. When you look at their numbers side by side, does that sound true to you? Does that make any sense? No. It's so disappointing. Not anger, not infuriation, disappointment. Everyone has given the Bears many chances. Too many to count. I even saw some people actually say, hey, Dalton's not a bad signing. But then you hear stuff like this and you wonder to yourselves, why? You might have a grudge against Mitch, but you have to admit, come on, he's not an incapable quarterback. He's not. He's not incapable. He might be average, sure, but he's not incapable. If he was incapable, the Bears would be 0-16. They'd be tanking for a new draft pick. They'd have nothing. That's not what happened. If you make the playoffs with a quarterback, that quarterback is not incapable. He's very capable. May not be a superstar, but at least he's capable. Good game manager, Mitch. Could make plays with his legs. Thrived with a run game. Had a good wide receiver, Allen Robinson. That's not incapable. It's called doing what you need to do to win. To me, that's capable. So I don't understand why all of a sudden this is being said. I do, because they wanted Mitch out. But don't slander the guy. He did many great things for you. He effectively saved Matt Nagy's job and Pace for now. They made the playoffs twice. Matt Nagy on his resume could say, I've made the playoffs twice as a coach. Not because of him. Hey, so I screwed up in the draft, but we did make the playoffs twice with him. Wasn't a huge screw up. Give me another chance at a quarterback. You see? It's going to be a long year. A very long year dealing with this crap. So I hope you're ready and prepared. And remember, the anger phase has gone away. There really isn't much more they could do at this point to make me angry. I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed in the way this all went down. I'm disappointed that Mitch is gone without proper cause. It'd be different if there was cause. There wasn't. I'm disappointed that Matt Nagy, after screwing up last season, gets play calling duties again. And I'm beyond disappointed that this is the PR spin they're putting on their new quarterback. And the one of old. At the end of the day, we could see through it. But the fact remains. The Bears have not improved. This upcoming season is not going to be pretty. We all have to buckle up and strap ourselves in. It's going to be a wild ride. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mark Schanowski comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $253 to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus. Must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $253 on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. The NCAA Tournament Championship is here. Blackhawks are playing. The Bulls are slowly but surely adjusting to their new trade deadline moves. And hey, the Cubs and White Sox are back. This is, without question, the best time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. At sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago. Here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a Bulls insider at Stadium and the host of the Sharpshooters podcast. Please welcome Mark Schanowski to the program. Mark, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing really good, John, and obviously it's been a busy week in the NBA, and now we're starting to push for the playoffs, so it's going to be interesting to see which of these teams can benefit the most from the moves they made.
So, Mark, are the Bulls in win-now mode?
No, not really. I think that Arturas is still looking at this as a long-term project. He made some very bold moves on the trade deadline date. I didn't think he'd surrender two first-round draft picks for anybody, especially a 30-year-old center who really has not had a huge impact on winning and losing in Orlando. But he decided to make that move, and I think it's the first of many moves we'll see over the next couple of years to try to build a roster that kind of plays the style that he and Billy Donovan want to implement. The first game was awful against San Antonio, but that's to be expected with no practice time and these guys trying to figure out what their teammates want to do. I think they'll play a lot better in the coming weeks, but I don't think it's a win-now move. I think Vucevic is under contract for two more years. I think that he'll be an important contributor to what they're trying to do, but I think you'll see a lot more changes coming up this summer to try to get that roster a little bit more in tune with what he and Billy want to do.
Did the Bulls give up too much for Vucevic?
I think so. You know, anytime you give up two first-round draft picks, those things are gold in professional sports these days, particularly obviously in the NBA and in the NFL. The Bulls, I think, even with these additions, are unlikely to make the playoffs, which means you're giving up a top 14 pick in what's considered one of the deepest drafts in a lot of years. And they're still looking to find that facilitating point guard that can kind of unlock some of the offensive things that Billy wants to do. And you know, there's a chance they could squeak into the playoffs this year, particularly because the East is so bad beyond the top three teams. But I don't know that necessarily gets you anywhere. If you finish, let's say you qualify for the play-in, you somehow get in, and you have to play Brooklyn in the first round. Well, that's most likely a four-game sweep, and then you're out. And obviously, without having a first-round draft pick, that's their goal. They don't care because they don't have a draft pick to try to protect. But I just think that, they didn't give up much in terms of players in the two deals that they made, but those draft picks, they may regret that down the line.
Mark Schanowski here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, how do you feel about the Wendell Carter trade?
Didn't bother me at all. I think that he has really struggled in his 3 years as a pro. He's missed so much time because of injuries that I think has hurt his development. But you could see that in the time that he was in Chicago, he's one of those athletes that really is hard on himself, that kind of beats himself up when he doesn't play well. And I think when you're playing professional sports, you have to be more tough-minded than that. I think that too often he almost got into his own head and kind of held back his own development. Now, he was playing center, a little bit undersized at 6'9", but a lot of guys in professional sports play out of position because that's what their team needs. I thought there were a lot of excuses at the ready when he didn't play as well as people expected for a guy who was taken number 7 overall in the 2018 draft. And now he walks into a situation in Orlando. I noticed in his first game, he didn't even start, and their roster is a mess right now. He's also going to be competing for minutes with Mo Bamba, who was the guy taken directly in front of him in that 2018 draft. So it's up to Wendell maybe to take a look in the mirror and think that, you know, I have to stop making excuses for why things aren't working out for me, and I have to show the potential that I displayed at Duke that made me such a high pick in the draft.
Is he a draft bust right now?
No, I don't think you could say that. You know, it's only his third year in the league. He's, 22 years old. He's got plenty of time to prove that he's worthy of that high draft status. He's a good defensive player. He can move his feet. I think those are skills that will serve him well in terms of being a modern-day center. He just needs to accept that role, and he has to keep working to expand his shooting range and be more aggressive on the offensive end. Obviously, Orlando is in a total rebuild right now. Not only did they trade Nikola Vucevic, but they also traded their other two best players in Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. So it's a total rebuild in Orlando. He's going to get his chances, and hopefully he does well because he's a very bright young man. He's very thoughtful in a lot of the interviews that he's done during his time in Chicago, and I wish him a ton of success. It just didn't work out here in Chicago, and for a lot of athletes, sometimes that second stop is what kind of unlocks their ability.
What about the bench turnover for the Bulls? Were you shocked by that at all?
No, I mean, they were disappointed with some of the guys that they were bringing off the bench. The backup center position, I think that both AK and Billy viewed that as a vast wasteland between Daniel Gafford, Luke Kornet, and Cristiano Felicio. I think they felt like they had nothing they could do there. I mean, there were games, you know, since Thad Young moved into the starting lineup, there were games where only Carter was the only center who got off the bench during the course of the action. So, you know, they wanted to improve that. Daniel Tice is a major upgrade. He was starting for a playoff team in Boston. He's also undersized at 6'8", but he is tough as nails. You know, where we mentioned Carter sometimes questioned his confidence, you'll never see that with Tice. Even though he's given up inches and pounds to a lot of the NBA centers, he's never going to concede any bit of ground. He's going to be tough in the paint. He's going to really help their second unit, and he's going to be different from what Vucevic gives you as an offensive center to start the game. When you bring in Tice, he's going to play tough and dirty in the paint, and he's going to make sure that people know he's out there. So I think that was a great addition. This is a Bulls team that, because of its youth, really suffered in the toughness category at times. But now with the moves that they made, you know, the average age is starting to climb up, and I think with some of the guys they added, we'll see a tougher, more competitive team night in and night out. Whether or not they're good enough to make the playoffs this year and be a factor down the road, there's still more moves to come. So it was a good start, but as I mentioned, AK still has some work to do.
Let me ask you this, Mark. Did Karnishevis send a message in dealing three different Garpax picks?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You know, when he came in, he played his cards very close to the vest. You know, in his initial press conference, he said he's very methodical in his approach. He's patient and deliberate, and he's not going to rush into anything to, you know, try to blow up the roster. But, hey, after 40-some games in the first season as head of basketball operations, he looked at the roster and said, I don't like much of it, and I'm going to turn this thing over very quickly. I think that he's seen that, it's a roster that had a lot of holes in it, and he did some things to strengthen them in terms of inside toughness, some ability to score in the paint, as well as their guards with LaVine and Kobe White. And I think that he kind of sent a message that this wasn't working. I stuck with it for 40 games. Now I'm going to start to implement the plan to try to remold this team in my vision.
Mark Schanowski here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, should Lauri Markkanen still be a Bull?
Well, I think they tried. I think they tried very hard to make a move for Lonzo Ball, but the Pelicans wanted more than just Lowry. I think they were probably asking for this year's first-round draft pick, and the Bulls decided that they were better off to try to make the move for Vucevic and maybe get into the free agent game this summer. Now, they would have to make a series of moves in terms of renouncing player rights to try to get close to that $20 million a year figure that Lonzo Ball is going to want, but they can do it. It is possible. They could also explore the sign and trade market, and it doesn't just have to be Lonzo Ball. There are other free agent guards out there that they could try to pursue. I'm not sure exactly who they have their eyes on right now, but it's very clear that they're intrigued by Lonzo Ball, and there's been a lot of publicity about the fact that Lonzo wants out of New Orleans. So even though they didn't get him at the deadline, I'm sure that will be one of their targets, either in restricted free agency or in a trade this summer.
What makes Lonzo Ball such an intriguing candidate for the Bulls?
I think just the fact that he's an old-school point guard. He has good positional size at about 6'5", and he's a good defensive player. His strength is exactly what the Bulls need. He wants to facilitate the offense. He wants to get the ball to the scorers. He wants to push the pace when you get a defensive rebound, make sure you get some easy baskets in transition. He's an exceptional passer, which is something the Bulls are lacking right now. And I think that when Billy Donovan looks around, that's the kind of guy he would like running his offense. They're going to get competition from a lot of teams in the summer once he hits free agency. The Knicks have a ton of cap space. I know that they're overloaded with point guards on their roster, but none of them have really fulfilled their potential as NBA players. Tom Thibodeau, of course, is the coach of the Knicks, so it'd be kind of interesting if it's Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks going up against Billy Donovan and the Bulls trying to recruit Lonzo Ball this summer.
What else do the Bulls need in free agency, or what needs could they address, do you think, this summer?
Well, as I mentioned, they're very limited in cap space, so they're gonna have one swing to make, and if that is a point guard, which everyone assumes it's going to be, I think that Lonzo Ball's at the top of their list. Because of some of the moves they made, they also have some question marks at the small forward position, but when you look around the NBA, so many teams are going with three guard fronts and two bigs. They could conceivably, if they got Lonzo Ball, go with the starting lineup with Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, and Kobe White as your three perimeter guys. And then you'd have Vucevic and Thad Young as your bigs. Or, excuse me, you'd have Thad Young and Patrick Williams starting with Thad Young coming off the bench. So they've got some options in what they can do in constructing the roster. I don't think necessarily that any NBA team, when they go to the whiteboard, looks at center, power forward, small forward anymore. It really has become a game where they look at two bigs and three perimeter guys, and how you construct that is just based on defensive matchups. You know, with Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine and even Kobe White close to that 6'5 range, you could conceivably get by with one of them defending the other team's bigger wing. I don't think that would be an issue right now. So I don't think you have to think in terms necessarily that, well, the Bulls have to go out and get a small forward. I think it's just a question of how can you best man those three perimeter positions.
You know, I noticed you didn't mention Lauri Markkanen's name there. Is he a part of the future plans right now, do you think?
At every opportunity, AK has gone out of his way to say that he really values what Lowry brings to the table. He defended him strongly when he had his midseason news conference in early March, talking about the fact that before Lowry was hurt this year with the shoulder injury, you know, his numbers were 19 points a game. He was shooting 50% from the field and 40% from the three-point line. Well, those numbers have dropped substantially since he's come back. He's not shot the ball well in the 10 games since he's returned from that injury. I think that it could go either way, but I think that in order to go after Alonzo Ball or any of the free agent point guards, you would have to renounce the rights to Markkanen. So my guess is that Lowry will probably not be with the Bulls next year, that they'll probably look to move Patrick Williams to the power forward position for his future in the NBA, where he probably is best suited. And then they would look to, as I mentioned, expand their perimeter talent so that they can go with a different look in their starting lineup.
Is that the right move? Is Lowry worth keeping, in your opinion?
Well, it's really hard to say because, much like Wendell Carter, he's been hurt so much in his career that it's tough to get a gauge on exactly what his ceiling can be as an NBA player. You remember his second year, he had that month of February where he averaged 26 points and 12 rebounds, and everyone was gushing over his potential and the possibility that he could be an all-star player for the Bulls. I hesitate to close the door on Lauri Markkanen emerging as a very good NBA player. I'm not saying necessarily an all-star, but if he could get to the point where he could stay on the court for 75 games and give you 18 and 10 every night, I think that would be a very positive NBA player. I just don't know how patient the Bulls are going to be, especially with the understanding that they're looking to upgrade at point guard, and they're going to have a very defined choice this summer. You either reinvest in Lauri Markkanen or you explore the possibility of adding Alonzo Ball or some other starting level point guard. It's either or. It's not going to be able both with their cap situation.
And you think the point guard obviously is more important if you had to make a choice?
Not necessarily, but I think that's what Billy Donovan thinks. And you know, Billy and AK have talked about their partnership in constructing this roster, and I think Billy's going to lobby his boss that the best way to go is to bring in a point guard who can really direct this offense, who can be kind of the maestro both in the half court and transition, and that we'll figure out exactly how to rotate our front court. I think they feel like a top-flight point guard can bring out the best in Zach LaVine and maybe ease his burden in trying to have to lead the team in scoring every night as well as handling ball handling responsibilities. And sometimes Zach's also asked to guard the best perimeter player on the other end. So bringing in Lonzo Ball will help ease the strain on Zach LaVine. And right now, Zach LaVine is their best player, and I think he's the guy that you have to keep in mind when you're looking to build a roster. And you also have to figure out how's the best way to maximize the talents of Nikola Vucevic, and having a point guard who can get him the ball in the low post and coming off screen and roll and pick and pop, I think also has a lot of value.
So, Mark, based on what we've talked about today and these new moves, what's your timeline on a Bulls championship? Has it moved up because of the trades?
Well, they made some positive steps in solidifying their front court. As I mentioned, they're going to look at the point guard situation this summer. And they'll also have to make a decision on when to extend Zach LaVine. He'll be a free agent after the 2021-22 season, and he'll be looking for a max contract. So all these parts are kind of moving at the same time, and that's why a general manager has to be looking 3 to 5 years out and what's the best way to maximize his cap flexibility. By bringing in Vucevic, the Bulls reduce that flexibility, and if they decide they're going to use cap space to try to extend Zach LaVine this year, which will be difficult to do because he's probably looking at a max deal and they can't do that this summer. You know, there's a lot of moving parts right now. In terms of championship contention, well, that's a whole different story. I think right now they want to get beyond being a fringe playoff team to the point where maybe they can compete for home court advantage in the first round, you know, be a 4 seed in the East. Brooklyn's going to be a force for the foreseeable years. Milwaukee re-signed Giannis, so they're going to be in the picture, and Philadelphia with Embiid and Ben Simmons is also going to be strong. So I think those three teams have pretty much solidified their spot at the top of the East. Miami made some moves to improve their roster, and reportedly they're going to make a strong move for Bradley Beal with the cap space that they have this summer. He's not a free agent, but they might try to work a trade with their cap space. So there's a lot of teams ahead of them right now in the East. I think that the championship is not even in view right now. I think their goal is to establish themselves as a solid Eastern Conference playoff team and just try to continue to develop and hopefully maybe down the road hit on a big free agent. But with Vucevic and a potential Zach LaVine extension on the books, they're pretty much tied into this roster for the next few years.
Should they extend LaVine, though? Do you think he's worth it?
I do. Yeah, I think he's shown this year that by making his first All-Star team, you know, averaging about 28 points a game, career highs in just about every statistical category, he's made a much better effort on the defensive end. He's one of the top 20 players in the league, and those guys, you don't want to let them get away if you can get them on a team-friendly extension. Now, I don't think Zach is going to take the extension this summer. As I mentioned, I think he's going to go to free agency in 22. And then you're going to have to decide whether or not you want to max him. And I think that given what the moves the Bulls have made with bringing in Vucevic and kind of tying their hands in free agency, I think their big move is going to be to try to keep Zach LaVine on the roster.
More to come with Mark Schanowski in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Mark Schanowski is still here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Mark, two more questions before we finish up. First off, the best Bulls team you've covered in your career was what?
Well, it would have to be the 95-96 team when they won 72 games and just steamrolled to a championship. I mean, that team had everything going from the beginning of the season. They went off on a huge winning streak, and you knew that Michael Jordan was coming back with a vengeance after getting knocked out of the playoffs in his short return to basketball in 1995. That team had everything you could possibly want, and with the addition of Dennis Rodman that year, you had the intrigue and drama of the Worm, and there were so many stories going at the same time, so many big personalities. It was just an incredible run throughout that season. It went by so quickly, and you remember they won the first three games of the finals against Seattle. Seattle came back to win the next two to extend the series to six games, but you know they're already considered the greatest team probably in NBA history. Had they swept the Sonics, they would have had the best playoff record ever. So it was just a remarkable team, and when you factor in the personalities involved, that would have to be number one.
How do you keep up with that as a reporter?
Well, it was tough because when Jordan came back from his brief retirement and playing baseball, he was a different person, and the Bulls were very difficult to cover in terms of media access. You know, when Jordan, his first run with the Bulls, he was always available to the media. You know, he would sit in his locker before games, and you could just go up and talk to him. I mean, he was a very accessible, very engaging interview. And when he came back, I think part of it was the fact that he was stung by some of the media criticism that followed his father's death. And I don't think he was as trusting in some of the media that was around him. Maybe he was just tired of the whole thing, but he wasn't as accessible. Dennis Rodman rarely did interviews other than his strange walks through the concourse of the United Center with all the cameramen walking backwards, which was another thing. But the media access was kind of controlled, but because the story was so big, it kind of made up for the fact that you didn't get that one-on-one access that you used to get in the early years with Jordan.
And Mark, before we finish up today, last question, what's your favorite Jordan memory?
Wow, it's tough to come up with just one. I mean, his career was so remarkable in so many ways. You know, I struggle to come up with. I would have to say the best, though, was the way he left his Bulls career. I don't think you can top the end of Game 6 in Salt Lake City when he scored, stole the ball from Karl Malone, and scored again. And the I have the photo of his last shot with the Bulls proudly displayed in my man cave. You know, him holding the follow-through with the shot over Brian Russell with all the fans in the background gasping in Utah knowing that Michael Jordan was going to beat them again. So if you write the perfect ending for an athlete, you know, obviously Peyton Manning had a great one with the Broncos, but at that point he was more of a game manager than a frontline star. You know, Jordan was still at the top of his game at the age of 35, and the Jazz thought if they could win that game and being at home in Game 7, they could finally knock off Jordan. And he said, not tonight. I'm winning number 6, and there's nothing you can do about it. So that's probably the memory that's etched in my memory banks. I mean, there were so many other times along the way where he just willed the Bulls to win, where he had fantastic scoring efforts. I mean, another game in Salt Lake City, the flu game, is so memorable, where he could barely move and he somehow scored well over 30 points to will them to a victory, which turned the series around. So he was the ultimate competitor, but the way he closed his Bulls career, I think, would be number one for me.
Well, Mark, thank you again for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on to talk some Bulls basketball, and best wishes with the podcast. Give me the hot sauce, sharpshooters, and your role at Stadium. You do great work. Keep it up. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I want to give a quick plug for the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast that we're doing with Stacey King. I mean, we're having so much fun with the show. We've had some great guests. We had BJ Armstrong a couple of weeks ago, and BJ was so entertained by Stacey, we were laughing through most of the show because Stacey's the ultimate storyteller, and those guys broke in together as rookies. So the two of them telling stories about how they were hazed and all the things they had to go through is just fantastic. So I would encourage all your listeners, if you get a chance, We're available on all the major podcast carriers, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean. It's called Gimme the Hot Sauce. The BJ Armstrong episode is episode 20, and it's just a laugh fest. And we're also available on YouTube, so you can literally watch the entire show and really see the reactions of people, which makes it the more fun. I know you have your own YouTube channel as well, and I think for people who like to listen to podcasts, if they have a chance to go to YouTube and devote an hour of time, I think they'll be well worth their effort.
Great talk there with Mark Schanowski, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mark Schanowski himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?